God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus right now, God, over every single person in the congregation. Father, it's not by might, it's not by power, but Lord, it's by your Spirit. God, right now, I turn this service over to you. I tell you to have your way right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said in your word that you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. And so, God, right now, I bind up sickness and infirmity. God, I bind up right now in the name of Jesus addiction. Lord, if there's anybody in here and they're addicted, God, and they want recovery, Lord, I ask that you would breathe recovery into your kids right now in the name of Jesus. God, I ask that you would take the biggest drug dealer in this city, and God, I ask that you would save them. Lord, I ask that you would save each person. Lord, the family members that we're concerned about, God, I ask that you would draw them in right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every church in Logan County right now. God, I ask that you bless their services. Lord, I ask that you'd heal people today, God. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Welcome, everybody, to Parish Christian Center. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still doing miracles. He is still God, and he is still on that throne. So, amen. Amen. If you're in need of a healing in your body this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you need a healing in your body, see, Jesus died on the cross, and one of the things that he died for was so that we could have healing. His word says that by his stripes we are healed. Not we're going to be, not we were, but we are. And if you can stand on his word this morning, I know that God's going to do a work in your body. I believe that God can do a work in your heart. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, all over the building this morning, Lord, they've stood to their feet. They've responded to your word. And God, I ask that you'd meet them right where they're at. Lord, I call out cancer in this place right now, and I curse it. Lord, from the very cell that it originated from, Lord, I loose healing right now in the name of Jesus. God, you know what each one's standing for. God, I thank you that you're meeting them right where they're at today. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to do one favor for me today. And I'm going to ask you to be fully present in this service. Amen. And here's what that means. If you have a cell phone, from this moment on in the service, there should not be any cell phone distraction. Amen? Amen? I'm going to ask you to put those cell phones on silent or vibrate, because I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to sweep through this place. And I believe that as the word comes out, that it's going to fall on some ground. And God calls that ground good ground. That ground is ready for the word. And that word needs to come forth, and there doesn't need to be distraction. Amen. And I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, I'm not your ordinary pastor, and I will not stand up here and be politically correct. This ain't that kind of church, amen? But I will tell it like it is, and I will say it loud, and I will say it proud. And if you don't hear anything else that I say in this service, I want to tell you that God loves you. If you haven't been in church in a while and you think, you know what, God's probably mad at me, I've done some stuff, I want to tell you something. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, and everybody has done things. And I want to tell you this morning that God loves you. He's not sitting there mad at you. He's not sitting there judging you. He loves you, and he loves you right where you're at in your life today. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't want to come in and make your life better or improve things, but that means that he loves you just as you are. People think, well, I got to get better before I can go to church. No, you don't ever got to get better before you come to God. You come to him exactly like you are. He'll do the rest of it. Right. Amen. Well, go with me this morning to Matthew chapter 27. I've got some points that I want to make now. If at any point in this service that you need to use the restroom, you'll go through these doors right here, and there's a hallway. And in the middle of this building, there's bathrooms. And I understand that the older I get. But We have all heard the typical Easter services, the sermons that come forth. And as I've meditated, I believe that there's some points that I want to draw right out of His Word that maybe you haven't seen or heard of, or maybe we can just put it in a different light for you to where it will mean more. Matthew chapter 27, verse 34, Jesus was fixing to be crucified. He had been beaten. He had been mocked. He had been disowned. He had been denied. All of the things had already happened. And here He is. And in Matthew chapter 27, in verse 34, it says, I'm going to start at verse 32. It says, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. Jesus had been beaten. He had been just beaten beyond recognition, the Word of God says. And He had gotten to that place where He was tired. And I want to minister to you right now and right here today. There's people in this congregation, I've got no doubt, you've come to a place in your life and you say, God, I'm tired. Lord, I'm worn out. God, I'm weary. And I want to tell you something. Because Christ died and because He rose again, He can relate to you. He can relate to you. And He loves you. He knows you better than you know yourself. But He had gotten to a place where He could no longer carry His cross. And they said, Simon, this is your job. You're going to carry this cross where we're going. And it says they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. In verse 34, this verse came alive to me a few days ago, and I had never really paid it much attention. But it says, there they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. Now, I want to talk about that wine, and I want to talk about that gall. That was not just wine on its own, but the gall was, I guess you could call it a in that time frame, that was like a narcotic. And what they did is they offered to criminals that they were going to crucify or that they were going to stone or that they were going to put to death. They offered them, it was kind of like a mercy that they gave criminals. And they said, we're going to give you this, and that'll help dull the pain about what you're about to just suffer. And it was a mercy. And they offered that to Him. Jesus, you're about to suffer even more. And because of that, we're going to give you the wine and we're going to mix it with the gall, and that will dull your senses. And I'm going to show you something in His Word because it needs to become very personal to you. I think that in the generation that we're in, nothing is personal anymore. When people say Jesus loves you, it doesn't mean anything anymore because we're so numb to every single thing that goes on, except for on Facebook. Now, we all come alive when it comes to Facebook. How many of you know that Facebook, let me just tell you, oh my gosh, I think that Facebook just opens people up. People become typewriting warriors like we ain't never seen. People that don't even speak to other people, they'll get on there and they'll type things. I'm going to bring this to relevancy today. So in verse 34, it says, there they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, after He realized what it was, He refused it. He refused it. What does that mean? Jesus Christ wanted to be fully present with the suffering that was taking place to count and to pay for the sins that would ever be committed by mankind. He didn't want to numb that. He didn't want to dull it. He wanted to take every single ounce of pain, and He wanted to endure that. Amen? I hope that that means something. The drink was meant to numb the pain. It was a mercy that He was offered. And He said no. He didn't want any single thing to dilute what He did for us. Jesus will dope you up. We'll give you this. You won't even feel it. No, I don't want that. See, I want to feel the pain of my kids. I want to feel the pain of the suffering. That was the whole reason He came down and He dwelled among us so He could relate to us, so He could pay for the sins of all mankind. And He was not going to go that far and then numb that pain. Now I want to speak into your life today. Pain and suffering in this lifetime, that is inevitable. So many people are hurting on the inside, emotionally, physically, in so many ways. and you're trying to numb the pain of everything that's gone on in your life. And I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because He never changes, you can rely on Him. Amen. When things want to rip your heart out, when people break your heart, when people betray you, don't go and numb the pain. Now, am I sitting here saying that alcohol is bad? Now, look here. You ain't going to get me to lie, and I'm going to tell you this. Being drunk is wrong. Being drunk is wrong. Now, I'm not going to sit there and get up into your personal life because that ain't this type of service. But what I will tell you is there the pain will be waiting on you when you come to. Amen. And we know that. And so I encourage you in those moments of pain, in those seasons where you're hurting, in those seasons where you're broken, I'm going to ask you to follow exactly how Christ did. I'm going to ask you to be fully present in your own life. In your own life. There's too many good people and you're letting your life pass you by. Because you're trying to numb everything that's gone on that's hurt you. You know what? Walk through the hurt. Jesus has got His hand out to lead you through it. Go on and live your life and live it for Christ and be happy. Be happy. Get your joy back. Get your salvation to where you're still working it out on a daily basis. He didn't avoid the pain. He stepped into it. He didn't disconnect. He made a full connection. Jesus chose to face the cross fully present. Fully present. I ask you today, be fully present in your life. When you're raising your children, I'm going to ask you to be fully present. Parents, we need to do a better job of monitoring what is we're setting before our kids' eyes. Amen. He didn't escape the weight of the cross. Every lash, every nail, every breath that He struggled to take, He felt it in its entirety. He felt it in its entirety. He didn't numb the cross. He embraced it. He embraced the cross. How many of you have a son in here? We love our sons, don't we? We love our daughters too. There's something about having a son. Every mama, I want you to put yourself in that place of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I want you to think about the type of world that we're living in. Would you give up your son for a bunch of ungrateful people? God the Father did that for us. He did it for us. There's some things that are too important for you to numb out. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at verse 53. Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. Now we've backed up a little bit. Jesus is being arrested. He had the classic kiss from Judas, the kiss that signified that Jesus was the Christ. He was betrayed. I'm going to tell you, in this lifetime, there's going to be betrayals that you're going to suffer. And the ball game can't quit just because somebody betrayed you. Jesus knew that He was going to be betrayed, and He let Judas sit at that table, knowing full well. There's too many of us, if we even know that there's a political difference between us, we ain't going to let them sit at our table, not in life and not at the lunch table. God would call us to be better than that. Yes. Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. One of Jesus' companions had just cut somebody's ear off. And that always makes me laugh. I don't know why. I guess I'm twisted. I don't know. But in verse 52, this is what Jesus said. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. See, look here. You choose how you live. If you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. If you live in Jesus, you're going to be up there with Jesus. But in verse 53, this is what He says, and this is so important. Do you think that I cannot call on my Father, and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. But how then would Scripture be fulfilled that say that it must happen in this way? What was Christ saying? At any moment, if I decided that I didn't want to be crucified, I would call on my Father and He would send legions of angels to come for me. He could have stopped it. He could have stopped it right there. Go with me to John chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 17 and 18. The reason that my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The second point that I want to make to you today is the cross for Jesus was not forced. It wasn't forced. He chose it. He chose it. He wanted to be fully present. He said it at any time He could call on the angels would come. He chose the cross because at the end of the day, He chose you. He chose you. There's a lot of things in our life that at the end of the day make us feel like nobody chooses us. We feel left out. We feel rejected. We feel betrayed. We feel like nobody cares. This morning, I want you to remember that He chose you. And because He chose you, He chose the cross. It was not anything that was forced on Him. He had the authority over life and death. He could have come down from the cross at any time. At any time. It wasn't the nails. It wasn't the soldiers. It wasn't the crowd that kept Him on the cross. It was love. It was love. Love kept Christ on the cross. Love kept Him there. Now, if I asked who in here loved Jesus, I have no doubt everybody would raise their hand. Now, this is your life that we're talking about. This is your life. I believe that the Word of God is true. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. I ask you today, do you love Him in your daily living? If the only thing that you were judged off of is what you were doing, would there be evidence that says you love Jesus? That you're following after Him. This service and this day, as much as I love it and as much as we've prepared for it, the Easter bunny don't matter, the Easter basket don't matter, the food doesn't matter, none of it matters. The only thing that matters here, this day, right here and right now is your soul. Amen. Is your soul. And I'm not one of those pastors that's going to give you a hard time and say, well, certain people only come for Christmas and Easter. That's between you and the good Lord. Right. But here's what I can tell you. Have yourself in God's house and have yourself there on a regular basis. God wants to use you. And God wants your life. Amen, Oakley. Amen, baby. Praise the Lord. Y'all stretch your hands over to this baby. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over Oakley right now. God, he's the apple of your eye. Lord, I ask that you bless him. God, I ask that you keep him. God, I ask that you give him peace. And Lord, set him in perfect health in the name of Jesus. Amen. So love kept him there. It wasn't obligation. It wasn't weakness. It wasn't circumstance. Love kept him on the cross. So when you look at the cross, don't just see suffering. See intentional suffering. Intentional. I'm starting to use that word more in ministry because so much of what people do is unintentional. I'm going to ask you today, be intentional in your life and in your salvation. A lot of people, they get up, they go to church, and they go through all of the right motions, but they're really not even living. Be intentional. Be intentional. When you're getting ready to go to church, when you're getting ready to go to work, begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would bless each one of my coworkers. God, the one that gets on my nerves the most, Lord, I ask that you would bless them. God, where there's been a disruption in my family, God, I ask that you'd put a peace there in the name of Jesus. Lord, for the kids that I'm concerned about, God, I ask that you would go to them. Lord, I ask that you would help me to stay in perfect peace. See, every problem that you have, it has a name. But so does Jesus Christ. And at his name, every single one of your problems has to bow down. People say, oh my this and oh my that. I wouldn't claim anything that wasn't from the Lord. Amen? But he chose the cross. He chose it. And love kept him there. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to look at verses 3 and 5, 3 through 5. And he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Christ was familiar with suffering. He was familiar with a broken heart. He was familiar with betrayal. He was familiar with everything that you've ever been presented with. There's nothing you have felt that Christ has not felt, except for what he felt was intensified because he took on all of that for the entire population of mankind. Amen. Don't see a sacrifice, see a chosen sacrifice. Intentional suffering. Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to start at verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. And he was despised and rejected. We esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely. Y'all say surely. Surely. I like the word surely because it reminds me of Arkansas. You don't have to come in here and act like anything other than yourself. Now, I am personally, and I hope that you're not real just uptight, because if you are, you're not going to like me. But I'm a hick, okay? And I say y'all and doggone and any of the other things. The other day, Melissa Helton said, Pastor, there's some chiggers on the church parking lot. And let me tell you, my whole time pastor and I have never got that complaint. And I thought, even the chiggers want to come here to church. And I Googled on my phone, what does a chigger look like? And I thought, I'm from Arkansas. I should know what a chigger is. And here's what I know. One time I went fishing and I got into a mess of chiggers. And I said to myself, from now on, I don't want no more chiggers. But surely, surely, it was a for sure thing. He took up our infirmities. and he carried our sorrows. I see a lot of people in this day and age, and they're carrying a lot of sorrow, a lot of sadness, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, a lot of PTSD, a lot of social anxiety, a lot of things. And I want to tell you this morning, we all got our things. We all have the things that we are suffering with or that we've got. But I want to read this verse to you again. Surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. I'm going to ask you to not carry things that have already been carried for you. I'm going to ask you to stop having things that Christ already paid for. There's things that y'all are dealing with. There's things that I'm dealing with, and they were already paid for a long time ago. Stop carrying those. Can you be intentional in your life and start enjoying your life? Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace. There was a punishment, and that punishment was what brought peace to us. Now, how many of you could stand to, in your life, have a little bit more peace? About half the church. Well, I'm going to ask that again. How many of you 200 and something people that's here today, you'd like just a little bit more peace in your life? Amen. Well, let me tell you something. The punishment that brought us peace, that was upon him. It was upon Christ. What does that tell us? That the peace is already there in your life. Well, I can't feel it, Pastor Kelly. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you to stop living off of your feelings, because your feelings are not facts. And second of all, I'm going to tell you, tap into that part where you know that the peace of God is following you everywhere you go. That peace is there in your life. When you want to worry about something, say, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm going to choose peace in this situation instead of the worry. And you begin to live like that. Amen. And it says here, and by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. God is not short on miracles today. He is not short on healing today. God's not short on anything. He has everything. I believe that we have not because we ask not. That's biblical. I encourage you to ask God. Pastor, I got some things going on in my family. Ask God. Ask God for those things. There's things that money can't buy you. Ask God for those things. It was intentional sacrifice. Intentional. He knew that he had to go and pay for the sin. He knew that the infirmity had to be covered. He knew that everything, it all had to be paid for. And he intentionally chose the cross. He had put a lot of thought in it. The cross was not a tragedy. The cross, it was a transaction. It was something that had to happen to pay for every single thing we would ever need forgiveness for. And he paid it all. He paid every single bit of it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. God loves you in here this morning. Amen. He loves you. He's interested in your life. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about what's breaking your heart right now. He cares about the family trouble. He cares about the sickness. He cares about every little detail of every little thing. He cares about that. Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back and the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified, and he is not here because he has risen." You don't serve a dead God. Because he stayed on Friday, because he refused to come down off of the cross, and because he endured every single form of what he had to on the crucifixion, Sunday was inevitable because he stayed there on that cross. What kept him on the cross? Love. Love for who? Us. Love kept him there. Love kept him there. What am I asking you to do today? I'm asking you to decide once and for all. I'm going to keep the love that I've got for Christ as my Creator and my Savior. I'm going to keep that love in my heart, and I'm keeping it and I'm taking it with me every place I go. There's too much of, "I'm okay, you're okay." Have we all gotten a point that we all know, ain't none of us okay? I mean, I hate that. And the only thing I hate more than the "I'm okay" thing is, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine, you're fine, and we're all fine." I'm going to tell you something, ain't none of us right. I've been in the people business too long. But here's what I know. We're all redeemed. I'm going to ask you to take Christ with you wherever you're going, to represent him, to be his ambassador. You may be the only message somebody ever listens to. You may be the only Bible somebody ever reads. People need you. They need you. He is not here. He is risen. And just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. And now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb and afraid and yet filled with joy and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said, and they came to him, and they clasped his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. What am I telling you this morning? Don't be afraid. There's people, and right here in this congregation, there's some folks, and you're saying, "God, is it going to be okay?" You got some things going on in your life. They may be in your family. They may be in your health. They may be in the people that you love the most. And you're searching your heart and you're asking yourself, "Is it going to be okay, God? Am I going to be okay?" There's some other folks in the room and you're saying, "I don't think I can ever be happy again." Let me tell you something. You can be better than you've ever been. You can be more fulfilled than you've ever been. And I got news for you. Yes, everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. The things that you're concerned about, God's already taken them. He's already taken your case. What does he need from you? Your life. Your obedience. A place in your heart. There's a place there where only Christ is supposed to be. He needs to be in that place every single day of the week with you. Every single day of the week. Now, I'm going to keep this real with you. They don't call me Pastor Real Deal for no reason. I will keep this so real, it'll make you uncomfortable. I'm going to tell it like it is. Too many people go off of what they feel. And I'm going to remind you that your feelings aren't facts. It's possible for you to feel one way and that not be the reality. I'm going to give you an example. How many of you mothers have ever gotten a call from the principal's office about your kid? You could be having a perfectly fine day, and you could be so full of joy. But the moment that you get that call, all your feelings have gotten on the crazy train, and that's where you're going to be at for the next at least 30 minutes to an hour, if not the entire day. That's why I'm telling you, don't live off of your feelings, because we can make some bad choices off of our feelings. I'm asking you to live off of the Word of God. Don't go off of how you feel. Go off of His Word. God wants people's life in here. And He loves you. And He's not sitting there mad at you. If you've been away from Him for a long time, God is not mad at you. What is He? He misses you. He misses you. There's too many people that think that we serve a mean God and a God that's mad at us. God ain't mad at you. God ain't mad at you. I don't wake up every single morning. Now, this is the part I was telling you about where I'm going to keep this real. I'm changing this dress just as soon as this service is over. I got my elastic stretchy pants. And all the down-to-earth women, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't wake up in the morning every single morning of my life and feel saved. I know I am saved. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. But I don't live off of what I feel, because, quite frankly, sometimes I wake up and I feel like being mean. Amen? If somebody irritates me, sometimes I feel like saying things that I shouldn't say. Amen? There's too many of us, and there's too many of God's kids, and we're living off of how we're feeling. And God's saying, stop living off of the feeling and start living off of my word, because man does not live on bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's time for us as believers to know what the Word of God says. If you had to quote 5 Bible verses, could you do it? Could you do it? If you had to quote them. Now, I'm going to prove a point. When I start singing a song, and I sing awful, but I'm going somewhere with this. When I start singing, the moment you recognize the song, I want you to sing with me. Don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, I just don't think it understands. Okay. I got friends in low places. I don't know the rest of it. That's part of the reason I don't sing. How about the thunder rolls? Okay. Strawberry wine. Yeah. I just proved my point. What was the point? Cindy? There's more people that know all of the songs that the world has to offer us. And am I a stickler about strawberry wine? Why, heck no. Go ahead and sing strawberry wine to your heart's content, but I hope you know some Bible verses to tack on to that. What am I trying to get you to do? Know God's Word. If you ever had to, could you quote 5 Bible verses from beginning to end? People's like, oh, I ain't never coming here again. Look here, you are, because you're going to love it. You're going to love Paris Christian Center. The resurrection was proof that the sacrifice worked. It worked. It was all paid for you. Sin was paid for. Death was defeated. The grave lost its power. See, you ever heard that song, "The Enemy Thought He Had Me, But Jesus Said That You're Mine"? I hope you can sing that to yourself in the car and blaze that music and believe that. He stayed on the cross so he could walk out of the grave. He stayed on the cross. Love kept him there so he could walk out of the grave. You don't serve a dead God. You serve a Christ that loves you. If you didn't hear anything else, I hope that you hear his voice and you feel his presence saying, I'm not mad at you. I love you. Make me more a part of your life. Last place for me, John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I think this is one we could probably all quote. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. His love caused him to be a giver. He gave the only thing that would cover the tab, and that was his son. That was his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17 is extremely important for your life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. If any pastor has ever condemned you and made you feel like God would never accept you, they were a bad pastor. And I'm going to set that record straight right here and right now. God didn't come and he didn't bring his son to condemn you. He came and he brought his son to love you, to save you, to be there for you, to heal you, to make a way for you. I pray that you can take that personal. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. Now this is a teaching church. That's why most of our praise and worship is student led. Because may we always have that knowing that we're always handing life down. Parents, you're handing a legacy down to your children. What kind of legacy are you giving them? I hope it's full of Christ. Where's Kimber? Kimber, sweetie pie, come up here. She's giving me the look. This little girl has grown so much. We've all adopted her at Parish Christian Center, and we call her the church brat. But we love her so much. Kimber, for the next minute, I'm going to ask y'all to stand to your feet. Give God what he can't take from you. What is that? Your praise and your worship. Kimber, whatever song God puts on your heart, let it be one that people generally know. That would probably help. But lead us in something as we dismiss this service.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me all my days.
And I know that we can
I've
sing
been
that louder.
Held in your hand.
Come on, congregation. Y'all know this
From
song.
The moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. In all my life, you have been faithful. In all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Y'all are the best looking folks I've seen all day. It's been a joy to have you. Here's how the day is going to flow. We're going to go back here and eat. We're going to go in the Manna Center and eat. You may be eating standing up. Now I'm going to allow something that I never allow. If there's no, y'all fill up the back. The ladies will help you.